At 314 Training Academy, their goal is to provide players of all ages with the latest indoor facilities and services to assist with all of your baseball and softball needs. From individual lessons to training camps and team practice sessions, you're sure to have the tools necessary to strengthen your game. And now experience their powerful combination of analytics and entertainment with HitTrax, the first and only baseball simulator on the market. For questions and additional information, call 314-963-1110 or visit 314trainingacademy.com.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hey, good morning, and welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. We welcome you. This is Jay Randolph, Jr. And to my left is the one and only Jimmy the Cat Hayes, just going through a phase. What's up, Cat?
Nice to see you, Jay.
Good to see you.
It's always a pleasure when you come in.
Yes, it is. This is my first foray into the new Kirkwood Studios. Doug, how are you?
Oh, gosh, I'm fine.
Yeah, you got to like this. It's kind of a home game for you.
Yeah. Well, this is close. Yeah,
it is close.
Nice to be 5 minutes
and
away.
And the mics are crispy clean.
Yeah, they are. Brand spanking new. My only thought was somebody who's been in the, I guess, in the business for 25 years, they might want to put the studio a little closer to the restaurant so the people at the restaurant could see you.
Well, I think the main studio we're going to be over
here. Oh, this is just the temp
temporary
studio.
This is a podcast
podcasting studio.
Right, that's where we are now.
In the podcast studio.
That's correct.
And in the main studio, people on outside, that's going to be a patio. They'll have a great view of the studio.
Now, does Frank Opinion have his own studio? Or does he?
Oh, I don't know.
I just hope that we can get takeout.
From the brew house.
Yeah.
That would be nice. What time do they fire up that kitchen? Posse, do you know you're very involved with kitchen folk?
Well, the cookie gets here about noonish.
No. A good cook will get there probably around 8. Now, they probably have people prepping up the sauces and getting all the tables set up, and I'm sure they open it. Sauces.
Yeah. Here's a little unknown gem over there.
Tim's on the line, by the way. We're going to turn him on so Timmy can chime in.
About the salmon. A salmon.
Yeah, he likes
which is great. But I get the brisket chili.
The brisket chili.
Oh, the wingy wingies.
The wingy wingies. It's real good.
Food very good.
Is Tim with us already?
I think he's dialed in. I got him put up. Timmy,
bring him on.
Mayday, mayday.
Hey, boys.
What's happening?
Been here for the last few minutes.
How are you?
What do you say, Jennings?
I'm good. How are you?
Very fine. Thank you so much. What's the good word?
The good word is we are in Kirkwood. The Redbirds are flying. The NFL is starting. And the Gamecocks and the Missouri Tigers do battle on Saturday. I have not been to a game in, probably 7 years up at Farrah.
And you're going this Saturday's been?
I'm going Saturday. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Huh. Yeah. They are fun. You got a tailgate and everything? You got
lined up? Oh, yeah. I know a guy who's like, in fact, he was featured on KOMU TV this past weekend for his tailgate. They have a chandelier.
Oh, you need that.
At the tailgate. I'm not sure why you need a chandelier at a tailgate, but they've got one.
Because it sets the ambiance.
It does? Yeah. It's a football game, Captain.
Yeah, but you're doing it in a civilized and fancy way.
Well, that may not be good for me.
Now you have to find a South Carolina tailgate, though, right?
I'll try. I'm going, you can see I've got my Gamecock hoodie on today.
Yeah, well, that's reasonable. It's going to be before you went to school. That's who you root for.
That is. Well, I mean, I'm rooting for a good game.
No, you are not. You're rooting for South Carolina, and that's okay. You went there. We understand that.
He looked right into your soul right there.
Yeah, he did. I guess I am.
That's fine.
I hope it's a good game because I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink.
Why?
Because
you got to get home. You're going to drive
right
back. I got
to come back because I got to do some stuff on Sunday morning. So the partner that I'm going with. I'm going to allow them to drink. Usually it's the opposite way. They're usually toting me around.
Huh, so you're going to be doing the driving.
I'm going to be doing the driving.
Designated driver.
Yeah. Who's his partner?
It's a friend of the family. It's just a gal pal.
Oh.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, gosh. Jimmy, what else is happening? How's fatherhood?
Fatherhood's very fine, sir. Yeah, I have this Sea Monster set up the studio here in the basement. So I told Sea Monster, I said, I can host the program from here, but he was a little hesitant to have me run point from home.
Why was he hesitant?
Because I guess with the, you know, just moved into his... you found out it's the temporary studio. The studio...
The
podcast studios. The main studio is, I guess, it depends on which direction you're facing, but if you're facing out toward Manchester, is to the left of where you guys are, and that is on the patio. And that won't be ready, I guess, for about 3 weeks, I was told, when I was in there last week. But either way, I think... we would be able to do it, or I would be able to run point from here. It's just the young tyke, you know, for me to be able to run and take care of him during this time, it would be better for me to be here. And if it doesn't impact the show in any way, I thought this would be a good solution. But with the transition, maybe the maybe it wouldn't be just yet. The Sea Monster wasn't sure. So anyway, so I'm just, you know what I'm doing? I'm standing by.
Hot takes?
Yeah. I mean, really, I'm really worked up about what racial can I go into to try and generate a reaction from bigots. This Michael Bennett thing, I'm really worked up about that and hoping to see if I can get people texting in and giving scalding hot takes in return. You know, at the FS1 model is something... that I know we're trying, Doug, to get attention from L.A.
Yeah, we've tried that.
And I saw that their brand new show with Chris Carter and Nick Wright.
Yeah, never wrong Nick Wright. You know him. not familiar with his work.
No, me either.
Their show debuted on Tuesday, and they got a 0.0. But still, what they say then is, now you guys can move up.
Nice building block.
Right.
Yeah. That's the foundation. Set the foundation.
You know, Jason Barrett would say it's just a quick fix with the teases.
I think Nick's teases were off on Tuesday.
How do the salesmen go out and sell a rating of 0.0?
Well, you don't. But what you do is, when you have a national show and you're in millions of homes, that's right. How you sell it. And some of those programs, I'm told, do okay sales-wise, even though the numbers aren't there. Go figure.
And these are the guys that make $5 million a year?
Right.
Higher.
Just by screaming? I'm screaming more. That's what I'm doing. I'd love to get lured away.
I think that's
one for $5 million.
It is something that we will look back on 5, maybe 10 years and go, remember when they tried to do that kind of stuff? Tim put a poll up yesterday or either the night before about something that you and I had talked about, Doug, off the air, about The Athletic and these sports sites, and would people pay? And Cat Frenzy was with us, you know, Ben Fred. And he's younger, and he's also in that business. So I think he wants things like The Athletic to go great guns.
Sure.
But Doug and I both looked at him and said, no chance.
Well, we're a little older. I say we, because you're a little older, I'm a little older, Doug's a little older. Ben Fred brought in something I hadn't seen in a while. A newspaper, and I looked.
Newspaper.
It's been a while since I've actually held a newspaper, but I agree. People paying for
And based on Tim's poll, and it's not perfect science, but Tim, you can talk to it. I mean, it was pretty overwhelming. Doug, this is on the fan page.
No,
you sure didn't. It's a shame. It was overwhelming the amount of people that said no, they would not pay for sports content from writers.
Yeah, I was legitimately big time surprised by the result. Not in the sense that the answer was no, but that it was, God, Jay, I think it was maybe around 95%
yep.
of the people said no. And to give people some background on this is something that I have been looking at with a business partner to potentially go into, not the Athletic model, but there's a gentleman in Pittsburgh by the name of Dejan Kovacek, I believe is how you pronounce his name. The bottom line is he started a site 3 years ago called DK Sports Pittsburgh. He used to write, and I think it was at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I think he had written it both, and he had a following. He was the Pirates beat writer, and he saw the direction newspapers were going in. I think even if you're not in the industry, you can see what's going on. If
sure.
you still get the newspaper, you recognize now that it's much thinner in two different ways. And so, you know, if you see a trend in your industry going steeply down, you want to adjust and try and put yourself in a position to continue to be in the industry, but just adjust the model. It's a standard reasoning. So to his credit, DK, as he's known, DK Sports Pittsburgh, I believe is the site. He started this up 3 years ago. It's a subscription model site, and he implemented it in Pittsburgh to great success. And so I spoke with DK as me and my business partner were at least interested in potentially doing something like this in St. Louis. All the while, we were aware of what was going on with The Athletic. I think they started, for certain, in Chicago. I think that might have been their first market. Then Toronto. Well, I don't want to make it sound chronological. I know they were in Toronto, I think Detroit, Cleveland, and they were kind of just there. And then recently, and by recently, I mean since May/June,
yep,
they have gone into what I would describe as a land grab and are just going anywhere they possibly can. And, of course, one of the places they're going is St. Louis, and they got Jeremy Rutherford, who I there's not enough positives to describe Jeremy Rutherford in his abilities, but also in his character, and he's the exact kind of person that if he were available and if I were operating KFNS, I would want on board. And I think for some Blues fans, they would say, well, he doesn't really opine and he doesn't interact. And I understand what you're saying, and I think Jeremy understands that as well. But here's the thing. He's a beat writer. And in his mind, and I think many beat writers would tell you this, that isn't their job to opine. If he were a columnist, then it becomes his job. And I think what he visualizes taking place with his move to The Athletic, because Jeremy and I certainly talked quite a bit, is the ability to inject more opinion into his stories as opposed to just, you know, churning out constant copy to try and match up with what I think many in the industry would say is a soon-to-be obsolete or perhaps never was a legitimate sustainable model, and that is the CPM model that a lot of these websites use. And by that I mean cost per thousand impressions of advertisements, which means they keep turning out stories just to keep the ad impressions that you see off to the side that you most likely hardly pay any attention to up for them to make any form of dollars. The root cause of all of this is 20-ish, give or take, 25, maybe 19 years ago when newspapers created their websites, and from the get-go, they allowed all the content to be accessed for free.
Yep.
And so, understandably, the consumer says, well, I've been getting this for free, and yeah, I like reading Jeremy Rutherford or whomever, but I can go read it on Twitter, or I can go read it on a site that they wouldn't call an aggregator site, but it's an aggregator site. They take other stories, and then they put them on, like Barrett's site. I'm not saying that to make fun of Barrett, but he just takes media stories from across the country and then throws them on his site and then hyperlinks the story. And then sometimes when he's describing the story, as he did with mine, he got it wrong. And then I asked him about it, and he said, well, that's above my pay grade. But, you know, you're paying yourself. Whatever. It's neither here nor there. It's just, I would have thought, obviously I would have thought, because I was interested in starting up essentially a DK Sports Pittsburgh in St. Louis. And obviously, therefore, I was bullish on the model. Not necessarily the Athletic's model, which is different than DK's. They are different. It would be nuanced and probably even more boring than this has been for many people as it is. But it's different. The Athletic is backed by venture capitalists out of Silicon Valley. And I don't care what venture capitalists are backing. If it doesn't start to provide a return in the early going, i.e. the time that they were promised, these aren't guys like DK who were in the business for years and want to see the business thrive. These are guys who want to get their return, understandably. They're investors. That doesn't mean they're wrong. It just doesn't necessarily mean they could be in it for the long haul if it doesn't take out of the gate. And I saw you make reference to that, Jay,
yep,
in your post. You, and for my money, me and the gentleman with whom I was talking about doing this, and we've been talking about doing it since April. That's been his whole thing, because he comes from a tech background and also a venture capitalist background. And he's just, you know, and I keep saying it, and it's nothing, because I love Jeremy Rutherford, as I just said.
Yep.
I'm just concerned from looking at The Athletic from a macro perspective that you're going to have people go, well, why would I do that when I can get this for free, even if the content on The Athletic is superior, and I think it will be, to the vast majority of written content that is out there right now. And you know, we're talking about $3.99 a month subscriptions. I mean, relatively speaking, you're talking about a drop in the bucket, $48 a year. But people feel like, what am I going to get there that I can't get here for free? And therefore, I would have thought when we put that poll up, it would maybe be around 50-50. But to see it be something along the lines of, you know, 95.5, I was blown away by that. And if anything, it makes me go, God, thank God I didn't put a bunch of money in and start up a business and do this, because maybe my vision isn't where the public is at this point.
Yeah, Doug and I were adamant about it. And I, like I said, I love Fredzie. He's that younger, hip, net, whatever, but we tried to tell him, it just didn't seem like it would work.
No, if what you're offering is more in-depth, better written sports coverage, I just don't think there's enough people out there necessarily looking for that to make it work. People want videos, they want short, quick stories,
boom.
They want to move on to the next thing.
What's
on their
next?
Phone.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, I do think as the landscape of everything changes over time, maybe The Athletic is so good that it kind of breaks...
Maybe it does.
Mold, and then I'm not saying it opens a way for, because I don't think people are going to pay for a lot, but maybe there are some that people feel I'm paying for that.
Yeah,
and it changes the way people view that.
I think there are some people that are that passionate, like, let's just say in St. Louis, there are enough crazy Blues fans that might sign up to The Athletic for Jeremy Rutherford. Now, I don't know how many. You need a lot. I mean, when you're talking about paying all these people all over the country and this and that, you remember Fox Sports or FSM, they tried to hire some writers and build some web content. And like Tim said, that was kind of that model of let's just put it out there and try and get more people to the site, and then maybe we could charge more and all that. And it didn't necessarily...
No. And then we went... I know nationally they did something similar, but I have no connection to that as I'm...
You're a regional guy.
Yeah,
right.
But I know in terms of content, the website of Fox Sports Midwest and whatever they consider their social media platforms is doing a lot better by using whatever video we get.
Sure.
And then,
oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I just
know writing.
Here's the thing on that. That's been killed, and it's such a weird spot. It's been killed, you know, and I don't know how many of you guys, and then how many people in the audience, like, for example, listen to Richard Deitch's podcast, or follow, you know, kind of the what I would describe as the current on Twitter, and by that I mean just kind of it's an echo chamber of opinions. But that Fox Sports One killing of written content has been so widespread that the other side of that decision, of course, I'm not privy to any of it, but I'm just observing it from afar, and from having operated inside STL for 12 years and then also having operated radio programming for 7 years, I'm always now at least sympathetic to the business side of it. That doesn't mean that the business side is right. It's just there's usually a reason, and usually the reason should revolve around numbers. It should never be personal.
Uh-huh.
And so the business decision had to make sense. You're not talking about like some fly-by-night operation. You're talking about Fox Sports, and whether you like somebody there or dislike somebody there, you can't argue with their success in building an empire since the early 1990s. So they had to have done a great deal of research on A, the amount of expenses they'd be cutting, but more importantly, B, those expenses and what kind of revenue the written content was bringing in. And clearly the math didn't add up. Now, we or you or whomever may not like the content decision, but from a business decision, it made sense, which then leads us to a bigger picture discussion, which is what you guys were just getting into. Is there even a large enough, not is there a market, because then you're setting up the bar too low for the discussion, is there a large enough market for the written word, the in-depth pieces? For example, Ken Rosenthal was there, Stuart Mandel, college football, he was there, now he's with The Athletic, just like Rosenthal. Is there a large enough market for that to continue? I certainly would default to yes, obviously, because I was considering starting up one of my own. But like I said, the initial response on some of this stuff has been so overwhelmingly no, as in, will you pay for it? I'm not talking about just our Facebook poll. I'm talking about in general. The Athletic has had one site, or one city, I should say, take off, and that's Toronto's. And that's, and it's not because of Blue Jays coverage, as you might imagine. It's because of Leafs coverage, to the point that my understanding from a person I spoke with, as you can imagine, there was a lot of diligence going on in this when we were deciding if we wanted to proceed, that they were considering just focusing on the Leafs exclusively. Now, I think what the Athletic's doing in getting Jeremy Rutherford is absolutely the move. That's the direction we wanted to go. You get the guys in the markets who have the credibility with the readers, and you bring them on. For example, if I were to now start this up and not have Jeremy Rutherford and just have, quote, a guy writing about the Blues, it goes without saying. It already seems like it's an uphill battle, but now you just have a guy. They went and got Jeremy Rutherford, so God bless him. That's great. But I'm talking about from the bigger picture of sports writing, and from a business standpoint, Fox Sports 1, like them, dislike them. We mock the hot take shows and Nick Wright and Chris Carter and Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp and what they do, even though they're making millions of dollars to do it for the time being. But they're intelligent people there, and they clearly ran numbers. And from their standpoint, for better or for worse, the better business financial move was to cut the written content, not because they don't support written content, but because they were losing money on it. Now, from an advertising standpoint, advertisers are currently more interested in running pre-rolls of videos than they are of running banner ads or pop-up ads over written content. And that's why they made the shift from the written content to the videos, even though when you get in the echo chamber of Twitter, it seems like everybody in the world is killing the decision. Well, if you really want written content, now's your moment to stick your gauntlet down in the ground and say, okay, I support written content so much so I'll spend a grand total of $3.99 a month. And I would have thought plenty of people would have been willing to do that, but maybe that isn't the case. I don't know. And I'm not focusing on St. Louis, the fan. I'm talking about across the country and North America, actually, because I know the Athletic is not just going to stop in Toronto. Well, I don't believe they're just going to stop in Toronto and Canada. I think they're going to go into a variety of markets. Because one of the things, to their credit, and I think this is very smart, they're focusing on the hockey fan. The hockey fan, a passionate fan base, even though it might be the fourth largest of the four major sports, in the U.S. / North America, it's underserved. And so from an economic standpoint, you zig when everybody else is zagging, and I think that is very smart to cater to the hockey fans. So good for them for going out and get the hockey writers, because hockey fans feel like they can't go to ESPN.com or Fox Sports and find out about their teams or that sport. And so I think that's a very smart move. It's just, will it prove to be profitable? And that's the thing that I wonder about.
I did want to say this, because while I understand our site, not the national one, the Midwest one, is doing better by kind of going more video, we did have some very good writers. Stan McNeil included them, you know, in them. Ben Fred, I think, wrote for us at one point. I don't think they ever got, like, the full support you need to try to sort of sink your hooks into a market. I wanted to make that clear. It wasn't the fault of any of our writers. We kind of went with a skeleton staff, and I think if you're going to make a splash, you better put some money into it up front so as you have a shot to grab a hold of an audience.
Unless I'm wrong, no one, and I don't know if I can say no one, but it's pretty absolute, but I don't think, because I think if one person did one, all it took would be one person figured out, truly, truly figured out digital advertising, online advertising, then, of course, people go, that's the formula. That's what we will do. And then that would lift all of the boats up. And I don't believe anybody has. You know, InsideSTL.com has been around for 12 years, but it's never really thrived from an online advertising standpoint. The way that it grew for the first 4 years were those Girl Next Door contests. And even though they're clearly a punchline and certainly deserve to be, the reason why we made money was because we would bring a bunch of people to these bars, and then the bars would advertise, but not because they wanted the banner ad. It's because they wanted the event, because that night they would have a tangible return on their investment. So if you're just advertising a banner ad, whether it be on STL Today or Fox Sports or name whatever site, you're probably not going to get a group of four girls from a Hooters in Fairview Heights to come once a month and get your return on your investment. And so nobody's really figured it out, which is why newspapers have had to have these cuts. And now you have newspaper writers leaving the newspapers to go into these subscription sites. From my standpoint, as a sports media guy, I hope.
Elysium Restoration and Design specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. Elysium has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget, whether it's a basic remodel or your dream project. The owner, Jason, started with an idea and a pickup truck, and over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job there is and continues to provide high-quality work to his customers. Visit online at erdstl.com or find Elysium on Facebook. Elysium Restoration and Design, trust is one of the things they build well.
They're successful, because if the Athletic isn't successful, where is the next spot for some very talented people to go? It's a looking over the cliff moment for sports writing.
Yeah,
and I'm very fascinated by what's going to take place over the next 6 months to a year, because as I said, these are venture capitalists and they're not in it for the love of the game.
The 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Design Air. Design Air Heating and Cooling. Want to know why? It's why they do so well. Why they're St. Louis's top HVAC provider? Well, it's because there's no pressure service, Doug. They're second to none. With over 75 trained qualified HVAC technicians, Design Air Heating and Cooling will always provide fast and friendly service. Doug, the cat, and Tim have all used Design Air and can attest to their fast and friendly service.
Sure.
Whether you reside in Kirkwood, St. Peter's, O'Fallon, Maryland, it don't matter.
No, it doesn't really. Because they have trucks.
Yeah.
They can drive there, wherever you are.
They'll find you.
Yes.
Design Air will take care of you. Call them today, 314-739-1600. That's 314-739-1600. Or online at designairservice.com. Design Air Heating and Cooling, the number one train deal in the Midwest. It is hard to stop a train. Coming up a little later in the program, Bo Drockelman. Is that right, Doug?
Sounds right, yeah.
He is going to be on to discuss the March to the Arch, a 21 Memorial Walk from West Canada downtown that's going to take place again this year on 9/11. It's going to become a tradition. Then in the night, also in the 9 o'clock hour, Derek Gould will join us. We've got the Hot Shots email of the day. Hot Shots was voted the number one St. Louis sports bar.
Great wings.
Outstanding wings. Good people. Jay Boyd. Visit one of their 11 St. Louis area locations as they wrap up their summer of golf and are big on
good
fantasy football.
Too.
Yeah, they got good fries. No
doubt. They always take care of us here. They are very good hosts for
the show. September the 21st.
A show that can be a little rough around the edges.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'd agree.
The show, they always
restaurant proper.
Welcome us with the open arm.
Right. Absolutely. The Birds are winning baseball games, Kat. I mean, granted, they're not playing very good teams.
I disagree. No one is playing better than the Padres.
I agree with the cat. If you look at the numbers,
and you just look at that Padres lineup. I mean,
yeah, and if you can identify a couple of the people in there,
these are
major league ball players.
Look, you can only play who they put in front of you. And the Cardinals, even though there's still some key guys out, and they're, you know, got guys like Mejia at third base, who, by the way, very good glove man. They're finding a way to get it done. And last night, the young pitcher, Jack Flaherty, he was much better than in his first start. That was the second major league start. Piscotty gets the big home run, also made a good defensive play. Overall, there were some other things that didn't go right for Piscotty. But lo and behold, this team that has disappointed at so many points this season is two back in the wild card.
Because we're getting hot and we got a chance to win this, baby.
We're also chasing a team that continues to lose. That helps,
that's
too.
That's fun.
Yeah.
But we had to get hot to do it.
Just want
could
to be
really
fair.
Could have won every game on this road trip.
Yeah.
Really could have. If not for a great catch in Milwaukee and a piddly blown save there in San Francisco.
That one was on me.
They'd be 9-0.
I didn't do a very good pregame show, and I kind of...
I don't think so.
That was on me.
And as you watch Flaherty pitch so well, last night, and Weaver has pitched very well, and all these guys come up from Memphis. You wonder just how much better the Major League team was than the Memphis team this year.
Well, you do wonder a little bit, too, what this bodes for the future. Is one of the things we've talked about the last month or so is whatever the case ends up being this year, next year is going to be a critical year for everyone involved. I mean, whether it's the manager, mm-hmm. whether it's the Gersh-Mozeliak partnership, I mean, whether it's some of their young talent. I mean, I enjoy them winning and enjoy the potential of maybe into the third week of September, still talking about these guys. But next year is so critical.
I think Lance Lynn is all but gone. Yeah. I think they are going to spend some money, get a big bat. But what's happening with some of the younger players makes you wonder if the Cardinals' long-term view is changing. Now, Jose Martinez, not a kid, he's 29. He's gotten much better at first base. I like him
at first base. I like that really tall, rangy, long arms.
Now, he might be tall, rangy people, period.
But he might be as good as... And then, of course, I tweeted out that he's gotten much better than he made an error the other night. But he might be their best defensive option at first base now.
And could be their best hitter as well.
And so I wonder, you know, if, as you're shopping around, if you're the Cardinals, do you say what we're seeing from Jose Martinez? And now he's got, you know, a nice stretch under his belt, and he seems to be getting better. You know, is that something you look at? Maybe he's the first base. I don't know. But they certainly have a glut of outfielders, some of them showing very well. Bader continues to impress. Pham has been great all year when he's healthy. He's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder issue right now. I wonder what direction they're going to go in. I think they definitely need a bat. I mean, they got to spend on a bat. And I also think outside the bullpen, which is the obvious thing, they need a closer, even if you think Tyler Lyons may be an end-of-the game type guy. But that rotation is going to need help, too. I like some of the young talent, but we always see injuries and everything. I think they're going to be a little short.
Well, I'm sure they'll make changes. But when you see how well some of these young guys have done, especially the pitchers, it makes you a little more understanding as to why they didn't trade them at the trade deadline for veteran help for a team that's probably not a championship team anyway. I mean, they've got 40%.
See what they did to the Padres?
What could be 40% of their starting pitching staff next year between Weaver and Flaherty. I mean, those are really two very promising arms.
And they'll get Reyes back, but they're going to watch his innings very, very closely because he's coming back from Tommy John. I think at some point, like you would say, they need a Lance Lynn. Now, my understanding is that the Cardinals agree they need something like that, but they don't think they're 5 years away, that they need a Lance Lynn for 5 years. They can go out and get something shorter term to augment the starting rotation. I don't know who that would be.
Don't say augment.
What's wrong with that
word?
I don't know.
I want to bring Tim back into the mix because he announced yesterday the TMA week one contest on DraftKings. I am in. I don't know if you're playing, Doug. Are you going to play the DraftKings game?
Well, absolutely. The one for $1 billion?
Well, not the Hasselback one. The one. Tim's going to talk about that, but we've also got the TMA game, right, Tim?
Yeah, Jennings, it's big doings. We have TMA every week. We will be doing a DraftKings game, and you can go on to the fan page right now and click on the link. I guess I will make sure that I will... Doug, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pin the post right now.
Nice.
Okay. I just pinned the post at the top of the page. Click on the game. Let's see. We already have 116 people signed up.
I'm one of them, Doug.
Are you?
And you can sign up to five entries per person, $10 per entry, $3,000 in total prizes.
Nice.
Is what it'll be, and that means first place pays 300, and how many people get paid? 78 people get paid.
Nice.
Darn near, 25% of the field. So, anyway, sign up, and you can participate in that. Plus, you can get involved in what you were just talking about, these monster games. You've been waiting for this since February 6th. Football season is here, and there's no better way to get closer to the game you love then with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football. To celebrate, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 contest this Sunday that's totally free to enter. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So get to DraftKings.com now and use promo code quarterback to play in DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. $1 billion. That's promo code quarterback to play for your shot to win $1 billion this Sunday. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
See, I've been kind of confused, but when Tim said it, it's clear it's quarterback is the
I have a very thick regional accent.
Oh, okay.
And I say a lot of words that people don't understand, and quarterback is one of them.
Clearly.
There you go.
Text of the day gets a free cheesesteak from the Post. Email of the day, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Iggy, you get three tickets to old school wrestling night. Who's going to be part of that theme night? Is there a giveaway? Will you be going to old school wrestling night?
Why are you asking me?
Well, because
Larry Nickel?
You go to a lot of the promotions that they have at the ballpark when they give away bobbleheads.
That's not a promotion. That's a special ticket. I do know that the Animal will be there because Larry interviewed him last week. And I think Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I don't know who the third guy is.
Ricky Steamboat.
The Dragon. He's going to be there?
Yeah.
Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Yeah,
that's what
nice.
It says right there on the copy.
Well, I didn't see that. All right. That's nice.
Call him out, Doug.
All right.
Just because you can't handle promo codes. The other day he said, what? The promo code is promo code. And then yesterday he said the promo code is lavender.
No.
What is he talking about?
Quarterback is what I've said.
Oh, gosh. Well, I hope they have a good time at old school wrestling night. What else would we have to do? I got some business here to get rid of. Coming up, we'll have Bo Drockelman. That was a little bit of a Francesa, wasn't it?
I got a long way to go.
I'm telling you, I can run point from here. I'm telling you, I can run point.
Well, run point!
Seamaster just doesn't think I can do it.
Dude, you take over and run
point. No, I'm not saying that I
should. No, I want
I'm
you
just
to.
Saying, I believe that it would. I don't think that. Or is there any delay? I mean, how would we know?
No, we hear you
sounds
perfectly.
Very good.
Yeah.
And just so you know,
yeah,
no, I begged to run point this morning. But
Seamar
wouldn't have it.
I saw the picture. Doug's falling asleep back there.
I'm out taking 5 minutes off my life, and Seamaster comes up. Sneaky comes up, and he just kind of peeks out. He says, I got something to tell you. I said, okay. What? He said, you're going to run point today. I said, okay. Cat thought about it, and then he just kind of said, no. So I think that let's try it for the last 15 minutes. How's that, Doug?
To see if it's possible?
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to do it. I just sometimes I need to run up for a feeding or a diaper.
Well, you just tell us we got the baby time. Or what should you say, Doug? Baby time or Jameson time?
That works. Yeah, baby time's fine.
Sure. Yeah. Jason Barrett has been very clear in his podcast about one of the hosts doing it from his basement. They should not run point, especially when there's a possible baby feeding ahead. But, Tim, if anyone can break the rules, I think you can.
Yeah, you know what? And unfortunately, the Seamaster didn't bring a bell over here for me to ring. But you know what? If I had one.
Jay's also hoarding them over here. He's got two.
I went to Bristol, Connecticut.
See? Right there.
I'll bring one over today, Tim.
Thank you, Iggy. Oh, come on by. Iggy. See what the
word is.
So I discussed this briefly yesterday. Jay, I'm curious what your take is on it. I mean, here we are early part of September, approaching the middle of September, the Cardinals are in a pennant race. For better or for worse, whether one feels like it's one or not, and yeah, I know they're five games over 500, and that's not usually where you are when you're in a pennant race, but either way, they're a pennant race. They're only four games back of the Cubs. I mean, that's realistic. That's realistic.
Yeah.
Central pennant race. I mean, I think would people bet on them straight up? Probably not. But if you were getting like 5-1, it might be worth throwing something on the Cardinals winning the Central, especially when you play them seven times. And then the wild card. And the wild card is two games away. And maybe I'm off the mark on this. And the Cat and I discussed it a little bit yesterday. You know, for all of the great fortune as Cardinal fans, those of us in the region have experienced in particular over the last 18 years, this does not have the same. I don't feel like it's encompassing baseball fans' interests like previous Septembers have. And I'm curious as to why, and I will put out the text number, so I will venture into the text inbox. First off, is that premise accurate in each individual's mind? So just asking the listener and asking you guys, are you as enthused about this Cardinal team on September 7th versus previous ones? And I realize it's difficult to try and compare and contrast because you'd have to go back to, you know, how you felt about previous teams. But we've had a lot of them, fortunately, over the last 18 seasons. And then secondarily, if that premise is accurate, why is that the case? Because it's not like they're in, you know, like they're six games out of a wild card spot. They're in the Central race, and they're in the wild card race. And they're two games back of the wild card, and that Rockies operation has been kind of fumble-effing around for the last month and a half.
Yeah, and they end with the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, I think.
And that's the thing. In the West, you got it. They're hitting each other. In the Central, yeah, the Cardinals do have to play the Cubs, but, you know, the Diamondbacks right now, the Diamondbacks and Indians are playing better baseball than anybody around. The Dodgers, you know, I don't know if you guys remember it. Again, it's kind of obscure, but I always go back when you ask about great Cardinal teams, everybody immediately goes to the 2004 team, not 2006, not 2011, 2004, and I probably would do the same thing. It's just that team didn't really have that great of pitching. But I go 2009, and that's the team where Wainwright and Carpenter both finished in the top three in the Cy Young. I think Lincecum won it, but you had that caliber of starting pitching. It was Schilling, Randy Johnson-esque, and even though that 2001 Diamondbacks team didn't have great offense, you had that two great starting pitching combination, and the Cardinals got swept. Now, granted, they were about to beat the Dodgers in Game 2, and unfortunately, Holiday dropped the ball, and that was the beginning of the end. The point is this. That team was a great team, but they were so far ahead in the Central that, like, the first week of September, they began a tailspin, and I recall the discussion was, can they flip the switch when the playoffs start? And unfortunately, the answer wound up being no. And I wonder if the Dodgers are kind of in a similar mode. They were, even though they're the second-best team in the National League is in their division, and there's no race there, they're so far ahead of the Diamondbacks, are the Dodgers kind of in that mode where they were so far ahead and it was tough to keep their foot on the gas? I don't know. And so is that why we've seen recently, over the last, if you want to go back to the Red Sox in 2004, the team that didn't necessarily have the best 5 months but had the best final month wind up having a higher probability of having success in October? And so the question I have is, where are people right now on the Cardinals versus previous Septembers, and if you are not as enthused, why is that? And I know I can speak for myself firsthand, and it's just I don't view it as being a very good baseball team. But when I look around and you see the Dodgers messing around, you see the Nationals not healthy, the Cubs have just never gotten it right, and after 140 games, I mean, you are who you are. I don't even know who in the National League you go, God, there's just no way they can beat them. Not because the Cardinals are great, but because everybody else, with the exception of the Diamondbacks, are kind of up and down and don't seem like powerhouses. And hell, the one time the Cardinals did go up against what I thought was a powerhouse in 2011 with the Phillies, they actually were able to beat them. But I don't feel like that is being replicated in the baseball fan community around St. Louis. So where are you guys on it?
There has been an uptick in ratings on television. I don't have the data handy, but I do know that the ratings have gotten better as the team has sort of pulled it together. I think there's a lot of malaise in terms of enthusiasm because of what they've seen this year. This is a flawed team. However, I do think some of that is offset. I don't know to what extent, just because we're seeing a lot of young guys come up that fans have heard about and are starting to do it at the major league level. I don't know how far that'll get you, but I do think there is some added enthusiasm where it's young guys and maybe a peek into the future, and suddenly the future's now because they're winning and they're back in this thing.
You know, it hasn't been a terribly exciting season. I mean, they've been 500 or a few games below or a few games ahead. They don't have any real star players having big years. They're in the middle of a pennant race, and you look at the lineup two nights ago, and you got Valera at second and Mejia at third.
Who?
Who's playing? Who are these guys? There hasn't been a whole lot of reason to get excited. They've some of the worst base running we've ever seen from a major league team. And the bullpen hasn't been very good. The bullpen's cost them how many games?
Yeah.
And yet, here they are. I think people will start to get in it now. You know, they close it down a little bit more, get even with Colorado, or get to within a couple games with the Cubs. I think it'll perk back up again. But there's probably a lot of people who just don't believe that this team really has much of a chance to do anything. The best you could hope for is a wild card spot, one and done. But, you know, we know that that's not necessarily true based on what we've seen in years past. You just get in, you got a shot.
Here are the responses, and I guess the responses are reflecting the thesis. Let's see. Hold on a second. They're coming in. They're coming in fast and furious. Larry's Lozenge writes in, they're not very good, number one. Number two, they are not fun to watch, and they don't play interesting baseball. Number three, it's hard to keep up with who is playing that day, who was sent down to Memphis, and who is on the DL. There has been so much roster churn this year, it's been hard to follow. That's from Larry's Lozenge. From Greg Godin's Stovepipe, this is just a team of guys, no real stars. For a somewhat fair-weather fan like myself, who really only watches baseball closely in September and October, this team just doesn't get my loins throbbing.
No.
Like that. That kind of describes it more vividly than we were. The big boss, Inoko, you are 100% right. I'm more interested next year than this year. I don't see any way, even if they get in, they make it to the series with such a weak bullpen. I'm also very interested to see who comes and goes in the offseason. I don't think the team is pretty close. The problem, this is from Andy the Tall Midget, the problem is that it's hard to be excited this year when there really isn't a discernible setup man or closer and no lead is safe down the stretch. That's from Andy the Tall Midget. I also think one of the things, and it's just kind of a geographic coincidence, the closing in on the wild card, and if you want to call it closing in on the Cubs, I mean, they are only four games out, it has taken place with the team over the last seven games and then finishing up tonight on the West Coast and playing two crappy teams. It's not like it's been against the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. But as I said yesterday, and we were saying when we were looking at what to do at the trade deadline, even though the team might not be great, the Cardinals played the Nationals. The Cardinals played the Dodgers. The Cardinals played the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, all within the first 4 months of the season. And so, yeah, they're getting the Giants and Padres now, but it's not like it's a college football schedule where they just had good fortune. They had to play these teams. They just played them earlier in the year, and they didn't get a chance to play the Giants and Padres as much as other teams did earlier in the season, and they're getting a chance to play them now. And you take a look at the remainder of the schedule, and there's three with the Brewers and seven with the Cubs, but other than that, it's Reds and Pirates. And it's a very favorable schedule. And right now, ESPN has the Cardinals' playoff percentage. That's not division percentage. It's playoff percentage at 31%. But I'm with the audience in that I don't have the same enthusiasm for it. I try to take myself back to 2011, and I remember I can specifically cite a date because it's when the Rams opened up the season against the Eagles, and I was at the Rams game and wasn't even paying attention to what was going on down the street, and it was September 11th. And I know this because the NFL did a big thing for the 10th anniversary of September 11th. And so I know the specific date, and here's a team that a month and a half later provided us with the most exciting world championship run we'll probably ever get. I don't know how you can top that. And yet on September 11th, I wasn't even paying attention. So I can speak to that. It's September 7th. But when you look at that roster, that team did have Chris Carpenter. That team did have Albert Pujols. And you look at that roster versus this roster. I mean, there truly are people who are out there, and I don't know who they are. So it's one thing if it's like a Flaherty, and you've heard about him, and you're finally getting a chance to see him. But then there are these other guys, and I had never even heard of them. And I realize hardcore baseball guys have followed and want to see those guys. But for the overwhelming majority, the casual fan, some of these guys aren't people who you've been going, oh, I can't wait till they get to St. Louis.
You're talking about like Mejia and Valera, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And those are guys, I think, who are getting playing time, you know, based on the fact that Jed's got a hammy. They're not
right.
The guys that everyone was waiting to see in the September call-up, you know?
At this point, can we give Mike Matheny any credit? for taking a team without a superstar, without much of a bullpen, for having them in contention at this point.
You and I can, but a lot of people aren't.
It. I mean, I think he does.
Well, he does, but he's not going to get it from the masses.
Well, he should, because there's a lot of National League rosters that are considerably more talented than the Cardinals right now.
And, no doubt.
And here they are, two games out of a playoff spot with a patchwork bullpen and half the team just up from the minor leagues.
And they're winning.
At so many points in this season, too, you're like, another heartbreaking loss. This is probably it.
The end.
And it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
There's been a lot of end days.
Yeah.
5 Night of the Fan is partnering with Lou Fest once again this year and offering 1 and 2 day passes for the exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September 9th and 10th. That is coming up, obviously. This is brought to you by Bud Light, Bar Louie, and Country Financial. Plowsy very fired up. Snoop D-O-double-G will be in the hizzy. Weezer, Cage the Elephant, Doug's favorite, Run the Jewels.
Run the Jewels.
Boy,
some of their Christmas albums are really
good. I got an email yesterday. They said Huey Lewis and the News is playing Lou Fest, too. Yeah.
No fooling?
Really?
Yeah. I just found that out yesterday.
Aren't they the biggest? Wouldn't they be the biggest act then?
You think so?
Well, you know who's 80s, friends maybe? With Huey, don't you?
No.
Klaibs.
Yeah, Klaibs.
Yeah. They're buddies.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
He's friends with them and he
they
loves them.
They play golf. And I'm serious.
Really?
That's
yeah, that's true.
So one of those weird deals like, yeah, I know Huey. also, Marion Hill will be there. Don't want to leave her out or him. For the same price as General Mission, listeners have access to the dedicated bathrooms, a private cash bar sponsored by Bar Louie, outdoor lounge, lawn games with prizes, and, of course, mingling with some of the your favorite 590 show hosts. Tickets are first come, first serve, and they're on sale now. Visit InsideSTL.com.
Well done, sir.
Thank you. I feel good about it. 1 hour in the books. Tim at his cage. We are in Kirkwood at the new studios by the Kirkwood Brew House, and much more to come. We have got Mr. Bo Drockelman is going to be with us.
Sure he will.
The March to the Arch and Derek Gould. They're in the 9 o'clock hour. We got some great sound coming up as well for the 8 o'clock hour. Good to see Sneaky Vile trying to do a little work while Tim's away. We will be back with more of The Morning After right here on 590 The Fan. Don't forget, it's presented by Ryan Kelly here on 590.
Big Bend Golf Center offers more than 25 hitting stations, grass and turf hitting mats, a lighted driving range, heated stalls, double-decker driving ranges, and wind dividers. During inclement weather, the bottom decks are heated for your convenience. Nationally ranked golf instructors offer group lessons and one-on-one lessons, plus club regripping and spike replacement service. Come in during their summer hours, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday. Big Bend Golf Center, the most complete driving range in St. Louis County.